We hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Steve Kelly and Wave Church. We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching, and we believe that it will enrich and empower your life.
I actually thought this morning, we've been talking with the team about maybe holding off this teaching for a couple more weeks, and I just decided I don't want to hold off. I want to do it today. And so I want to talk to you about a subject today. This is going to be one of those, what's the word I'm going to use? It's going to be one of those be better message. It's not going to be a feel better message. Is that okay? This is from the Word of God that is just talking to us about being better and not just about our feelings. How many of your feelings can really jack you up? I mean, come on, how many know? That's why David said, search my heart, O God, and see if there's anything offensive or contrary to your way. Because the heart, the Bible says, is deceitfully wicked above all things. Who can know it? So I want to talk to you about how to keep it together when everyone's losing it. And how many know right now there's a lot of people losing it? Yeah. Amen? And even legitimate things that actually give people reason to have anxious moments get hijacked by others. And then the legitimacy of what is being argued, because some people are just losing it. You with me here? I'll give you an example. Just recently, and I never thought this day would come. Never in a million years did I think this day would come. Just recently, somewhere in the state of California, it has now been decided that actually pedophilia is now considered a sexual orientation. And I'm thinking to myself, that's jacked up. How many know we're losing it if we can say that? Can anybody say amen? There's so much gender confusion in today's world. There is so much tension and angst with the election coming up, with COVID, and there's so many. I mean, people are losing it. The death rates are going up. Suicide's going up. Divorce rate is going up. People with their business and the economy, the social unrest and the injustice that we're seeing in our nation today. And there are some people who are losing it. And I want to talk to you today about how to keep it together when everyone else around you is losing it. And so we're going to read in 1 Samuel 1. And this is really out of my studies with King David, that as I was reading ahead of it and after it, to consider the culture and the context, the geography, the culture and the day, I found myself going, oh my gosh, I could talk about Samuel, for about 3 weeks, and I'm going to do it. I want to talk to you about Samuel. Is that okay? But before I talk to you about Samuel, I want to talk to you about his mother. And that's what today's about. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1. There was a certain man from Ramathaim, and he was a Zuphite from the hill country of Ephraim. How many know that's a mouthful right there? Whose name was Elkanah, son of Jerom, and he was the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, who was an Ephraimite. Does anybody think right now I'm praying in tongues? He had two wives, one who was called Hannah and the other called Penaniah. Penaniah had children, but Hannah had none. Everybody got it so far? Okay. And year after year, this man, it says, went up from his hometown to worship the sacrifice at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, as if there aren't enough complicated names. Hophni and Phinehas, okay? Every time I think about Hophni and Phinehas, I think about that cartoon that is not a good cartoon. And the two sons of Eli were priests of the Lord. And whenever the day came for Elkanah, this is the husband, to sacrifice, he would give portions of meat to his wife Penaniah and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, the other wife, he gave a double portion because he loved her. And the Lord closed a womb. Before the Lord had closed the womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. That right there is the problem with polygamy. You with me here? And it says, this went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went to the house of the Lord, her rival, notice the word rival, would provoke her until she wept and she wouldn't eat. It wasn't until she drove her to a point of expressing great depression and starving herself. That was her key performance indicator as to when to stop. And what we see here is Penaniah, she's pumping out babies left, right, and center, but poor old Hannah is barren. And Penaniah is jealous because Elkanah loves Hannah more than he does her, yet she's the one producing an offspring. And so that again, let me tell you, the Bible makes it very clear, in that culture, polygamy was accepted. It was not God's best. And all the men said. And here's the argument for polygamy in its day. Because I wanted to know, how would this be accepted? Here are the most common arguments. Polygamy actually gives a man, and this is very male bias driven, I might add, more options for children in case the woman he married was barren. Well, how would you know she was barren? Because in those days, people didn't have sex before marriage. Now, some did, I realized, just like in today's world, people do. But in those days, it was far less acceptable than perhaps it's a norm today. Would you agree with that? Okay. And so therefore, you didn't know until you married her that she wasn't able to have children. You got it? Everybody say, got it? Okay. Now, the second reason was they had actually provided more workers, because as the more children you have, the more workers on your farm. This is called child labor, by the way, which, thank God, we've grown up since those days. I do, however, know that still exists in some countries. And I like it when we find out a company that actually still condones that or uses those practices, that we find out who they are, and I will not buy anything from those companies because I am not supporting slave labor, child labor. Can anybody say amen to that? And so, but the problem is it creates challenges because these two wives will fight for the love and the devotion of the husband, or more than two. There's comparisons. How many know it's like when you get married and then you actually go through a heartache of a divorce, then you remarry and someone compares you to their ex? Never good. Well, imagine if you got money wives, and now you're comparing. Why can't you be more like her? Why can't you be more like her? Problems beyond words. It creates jealousy. Now, let me make it clear. The New Testament says we're to be the husband of but one wife. Amen? And not one wife at a time, but the husband of one wife. And even the Old Testament, I believe, whilst it condoned this, did not set it as God's best. God in the beginning created Adam and Eve. And the Bible throughout all the Old Testament reinforces that marriage is between a man and a woman. But how many know today, this world in which we live has lost it? We've got gender identity. Come on. We've got all sorts of, we're actually calling a pedophile a sexual orientation. And so I want you to look at this. The Bible says year after the year, this man Elkanah went up to worship, and it goes, and to sacrifice to the Lord Almighty. And there were Hophni and Phinehas. I want to introduce you to who's the priest in the temple. Hophni and Phinehas. Now, let me tell you what the Bible says about them. 1 Samuel 2, verse 12. It says, Eli's sons, that's Hophni and Phinehas, were scoundrels. They had no regard for the Lord. These were two of the worst preacher's kids you'll ever meet. These kids were jacked up. And let me just tell you, they would show, the Bible says, contempt for the Lord's offerings. People would bring in their tithe and offering, they just kick it over, had no regard for what people were doing by bringing their tithe into the house of God. The Bible also tells us that Hophni and Phinehas, who were priests, the sons of Eli, would be having sex with the women workers who worked at the entrance of the temple. How many know they're losing it? Come on, somebody. Okay. And so let me just say this. I want to give you a few keys of how to keep it together when everyone else is losing it. And here they are. Number one, we are to look to God, not man. How many times have people lost heart because they blamed some other Christian as to why they don't want to be a Christian anymore? How many times, and I want to say to you, the very get-go, Eli, without a doubt, was part of the problem here. Look what the Bible says about Eli. Look what it says here. I think we got a Bible verse I gave to the team because I changed it. It says, one day after they'd finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah, who had no child, and this other woman called Penaniah is mocking her until she'd be weeping. And listen to this, wouldn't be eating. She would go into the temple, and look what the Bible says. Year after year, the men went up from the town to worship, and when Hophni finished, the two sons of Eli were priests of the Lord. Let's go to the next verse now, the verses I gave you, if you have it. Okay, let me just tell you, because I don't know what happened there. What happened was, the Bible says that Hannah went into the temple, and she's weeping, and she's sobbing. And it says, Eli saw her mouth. You know that kind of cry that's like a, you know the ugly cry where you, you know that cry? How many know that cry? You know when there's a cry, but then there's a cry where you just can't hold your facial expressions. So Eli looks at her. This is the priest now. This is the man of God and says, how dare you come into the house of God drunk? You should drink beer or wine at home. Don't you come into the house of God drunk. And she says, as surely as the Lord lives, I'm not drunk. I'm pouring my soul out to God. Can I tell you, what do you do when your priest is judging you? What do you do when the priest's sons are having sex with the temple workers? What do you do when the priest's sons are doing, I mean, I'm telling you, you want it to be about a world that's losing it? And I know people say to me, oh, I'm in the church I used to go to, the pastor, he took the money and he took off with the money and I'm never going to give another dime to another church. And I'm going, well, there's your problem. You were looking, thinking you gave it to a person. We will answer to God for our giving. God will see to it that the people in leadership will answer for how they deal with the finances. I have never given a penny to an individual. I have always given to God. Amen. And I don't look at maybe what happens in the temple with humanity. What matters, I just make sure I do what the Lord asked me to do. Can somebody say amen? And so let me tell you, so that's the first one. Second thing is how to make sure you keep it together when everyone else is losing it. Don't hate the haters. There are going to be some people who hate you. There are. Some people drink haterade. And some people get double doses. And some people love to open a can on you. And just, and especially with social media today, don't hate the haters. Amen. Look what it says here. It says in 1 Samuel 1, verse 6 and 7, because the Lord closed Hananiah's womb, her rival, look at the word rival, kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Watch, whenever, look at this, Bible doesn't waste words. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, when she went to the house of God, it says her rival provoked her until she wept and she didn't eat. In other words, even for Hannah, going to the house of God became a source of pain. But she didn't stop going just because someone's hating on her. She wasn't letting what somebody else was doing to her stop her from doing what she knew was right. Let's get to the house of God. Come on, somebody say amen. She didn't let Eli the priest get on her even though he judged her wrongly. She didn't let Hophni and Phinehas stop her. She wasn't going, well, look at those scoundrels. Well, I'm not going to God's house anymore. No, no. She was found in the house of God, pouring her heart out to God. She gave it to God. Everybody say she gave it to God. How we handle our haters determines our destiny. Hannah went to the temple. She gave it to God. Eli, the priest, thought she was drunk. A man who should have discerned judged her as a drunk. God, listen to this, gave Hannah Samuel because of the prayer she prayed. Lord, give me a child. She didn't let Hophni and Phinehas. She didn't let Eli. She didn't let Penaniah. She said, God, give me a child. And if you do, I promise I'll give him to you. So God, listen to this, gives Hannah a child called Samuel. And now listen to this. She gives the child after 3 to 5 years of the child being weaned. She gives the child. She says, I devote him to you. Devote it, which means set apart. which means holy, which means she brought him to the temple and had Samuel raised up in the temple by Eli. Because she was never giving him to Eli. She was giving him to the Lord. And she trusted that the Lord would take care of him, even with a bad priest and a bad priest's sons who were priests. She never gave it to man. She gave him to God. What a great lesson that is. Number three, listen to this one. Powerful parenting means bringing your kids to God's house. Look what she did. She brought Samuel to the house of God. A powerful parent gives their children to the Lord, not to sport. And I'm all for sport. Anybody who knows me knows I'm for sport. But we love the Lord first in Jesus' name. Amen. And I want you to write this down because I want you to consider it. I believe you can look at a person's church attendance and you're able to accurately predict the level of blessing on that family. Amen. I believe you can look at a person's church attendance and based on that, you can accurately predict the level. Now, I'm not talking about if you come for means, you got money. Don't you misunderstand blessing. I'm talking about the blessing of the Lord that makes rich and has no sorrow. I'm talking about prosperity across your whole life. And I believe based on a person's church attendance, you can accurately predict the level of blessing that's in that family. Thank you for the underwhelming response. Amen. Number four, you want to talk about, you know, keeping it together when everyone else is losing it. In the middle of COVID, in the middle of the economic uncertainties, one of the things I loved about this woman was she always gave to God what was his first. She gave Samuel, watch this, the firstborn. Everybody see that? What you do with the first matters. Some people think if they give 10% to God, they're tithing. That is not tithing. It's the first 10%. You don't give God your leftovers. You don't wait and you figure out how much money did you earn in 3 months or 6 months and then a year, and then you back pay. The first 10% belongs to God. And if you don't give it to God first, it is not first fruits. What you do with the first day of the week, which is a Sunday, what you do with the first redeems the rest. You give God the first 10%, he'll take care of the 90% as if it was 100%. What you do with the first day of the week in the house of God, you redeem the rest of the week. I try with all my heart to give God my first thought every morning. I try to captivate my thought and take captive of my first thought. Before I even think about coffee, I'm thinking about, God, I give you this day. Because of what I do with the first thought of the day redeems the rest in Jesus' name. Amen. In the middle of crazy, when everyone's trying to look out for themselves, I want to make sure I keep first things first. Amen. Number five, listen to this. When the rest of the world is going crazy, stay pure. Listen to what it says in 1 Samuel 2:18. But Samuel was ministering. Here's now Samuel. He's growing up and now he's ministering before the Lord. A boy, listen to this, wearing a linen ephod. That linen ephod, I don't have the time to talk about it, but let me just say what it represents is purity, cleanliness, whole. I remember back in Australia, I heard a preacher, and I won't say where he's from, but it may have been the United States. And he came into Australia trying to teach the Australian pastors, and he had a very warped perspective of purity. Do you know what he was teaching? And I heard him teach it. And I went up to him afterwards and challenged him on it. Because he said, we need to get back to the Victorian era. We need for people to wear clothing. Women ought to wear clothing from neck down to the ankles. He said, women should not wear any clothing that reveals any body parts other than above the neck and below the ankles. He said, we need to get back to that era. And I went up to him afterwards. I said, can I just talk to you for a minute? I won't mention his name, but his name may have been Mike. I won't say his last name to protect the guilty. And I said, Mike, can I ask you a question? He goes, what is it? I said, what you're talking about is getting people to go back and dress like the Victorian era. because that's the neck-to-knee wardrobe that they would wear. And I said, let me tell you, the Victorian era were no more godly than this era, or no less godly than this. They just wore more clothes. And before they had committed sin, they had more clothes to take off. Wardrobes do not make you holy. Amen. And we live in a world that's losing it with its purity. We've got gender confusion. We've got people who don't know who they are anymore. But I want to say, when it comes to the things of God, let the Word of God determine. When the rest of the world's going crazy, we know what our true north is in the name of Jesus. Holiness is not being 10 years behind the times. Because the problem with being 10 years behind the times is, imagine if you thought that in 1970. Well, now today's 2020. You've had 50 years of the world getting worse for the last 50 years, and you can still think that you're holy because you're 10 years behind the times. No, holiness is being all that God's called you to be, pure, clean, before God, with a repentant heart, with a heart that's open to correction, a heart that's open to discipline, a heart that's open to the Holy Spirit. Come on, somebody, that's willing to make the changes and not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. It's not being 10 years behind the times. Otherwise, let me tell you, we're now 50% more like the world than we were 50 years ago if we just say 10 years behind the times. Do you see the inconsistency of it? Thank you for the underwhelming response. I told you, it's going to be one of those messages. Okay, last one, number six, my time's up. Look at this. What you accept, how to keep it together when everybody else is losing it. What you accept is what you teach. Look at 1 Samuel 2, verse 22. Now, Eli was very old and heard about everything his sons were doing to all Israel and how they slept with the women who served at the entrance of the tent meeting. So he said to them when he's very old, in other words, this has been happening for a long time. And he said to them, why do you do such things? Where were you, Eli, 20, 30 years ago? I hear from all the people about the wicked deeds of yours. If one person sins against another, God may mediate for the offender. But if anyone sins against the Lord, who will intercede for them? But his sons, however, did not listen to their father's rebuke. Now watch this. Eli was old. He heard everything the kids were doing. When you know, listen to this, write this down. When you know your kids are sinning and you don't call them out, you are participating in their sin. When you know what your sins are doing, and you are not willing to confront and correct it, you are participating in their sin. What you accept is what you teach. Now, there's an age of account when a child will grow up, and if you think the first time you want to discipline your child and you've never disciplined before is at the age of 15, my friend, the horse has already left the barn. Can anybody say amen? That is too late. That's when you just get on your knees. Amen? And for Eli, it's when he's old. It's too late. Are you hearing me? But I am speaking to the parents who have young children. I know for Sharon and I, there were certain shows we would not even let our children watch. Are you hearing me? And now Jared and Alyssa, Josh and Brooke and Sam and Laurie, they've got kids of their own. And when Jackson Lennon spent a week with us this week, Jax wanted to watch Ryan. Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about right now. You're going, what's Ryan? If you have young children, you'll know. Ryan is a young, I think, 10-year-old kid who's made $100 million on his TV show and his testing of toys. Nine years old, $100 million. Parents are involved in it. To be honest with you, I look at it and I think I'm real happy for Ryan, but I worry what that's going to do to him. You with me here? Especially if you saw the show. But what the kids noticed was, my daughter and husband, that every time Jax watched that show, there's a certain, I think it's the YouTube show, that Jax's behavior becomes obnoxious and he copies Ryan. So Jared and Alyssa are saying, we do not want our son talking to us the way Ryan does. So for him, Ryan's not allowed. So when Jax comes over to my house, he's trying to convince me, Mum and Dad, let me watch it. And I go, oh, no, no, no. I don't even know who Ryan is. I don't even care who Ryan is. All I know is Mum and Dad said, no Ryan. Are you hearing me? And I'm talking about bring up a child in the way that they shall go. And I'm talking to some parents today. I'm talking to you. And I'm saying, come on, bring your kids into the house of God. You getting your kids being part of the online service is vitally important for their spiritual development and well-being. Come on, somebody. Come on. And what you accept is what you're actually teaching in Jesus' name. There, end of part one of another 2 weeks. Because next week, I want to talk to you about Samuel. Here's the last verse. Look at this. It says, but Samuel, the Bible says, grew in the Lord. It's my last Bible verse. There it is. But Samuel, the boy Samuel, continued to grow in stature and in favor with the Lord and with people. Next week, I want to talk to you about Samuel. Samuel, remember, is the guy that anointed David to be king. You with me here? And I'm looking at that story going, hey, this woman could have lost it. In a world that was losing it, yet she never lost it. By the way, Hannah ended up with 5 more children after Samuel. When you give to God first, I got to tell you, He blesses everything you have in Jesus' name. Anybody enjoy the word today? Help anybody? Now, I promise you, I make you a promise now as your pastor. That means we're going to have David and we're going to have Samuel Old Testament studies. The next series we do is going to be a New Testament series. Is that okay? So we'll make sure we get a good balance of the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. But I'm telling you, I can't wait to talk to you about authority issues. You may not want to come next week. Shall I just give you a warning? If you have a problem with authority, do not come to church next Sunday. Because it's going to be a very uncomfortable week for you in Jesus' name. I would find something else to do. But I'd also remind you that actually I can predict your future based on your church attendance. So let's be in the house of God in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand for the word. Everybody online, I pray that spoke to you. I pray the Holy Spirit spoke to you today in Jesus' name. I want to pray for anyone and everyone here. And already there are 2 people. As I'm speaking, there's a button on all of our online devices that allows people to make a decision to put their faith in Jesus. And as I'm speaking, already 2 people have already committed their life to Jesus. And I know there are people here today that need to make that decision. And I want to give you that opportunity. Now look at me. When we talk about trying to keep it together in a world that's gone crazy and where everybody's losing it, when we talk about even Eli and Hophni and Phinehas are losing it, and we're talking about the other wife who's just trying to vex this other woman, but she just kept going to the house of God. Can I tell you something? The Bible says there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Maybe you were hurt by your natural father. And you have reason not to trust your natural father. Could I point you to your heavenly father? And Jesus is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. That the greatest concept of family comes from God. God the Father. Jesus the Son of God. And maybe your family is a little jacked up. Maybe your family, maybe your father has given you no confidence to ever trust a man. But can I tell you something? You can put your confidence and your trust and your hope in your heavenly Father. And I want to pray for you today. If you say, Steve, I don't know God as you speak of. Steve, I don't have that relationship with Jesus as a friend that stick closer than a brother. Can I say, get your eyes off of people and put your eyes just for a moment on Jesus. He loves you. He will never hurt you. He will never forsake you. He will never turn His back on you. He will never leave you. He will always be with you. He is your shepherd. Come on. He has defeated your enemy before you. He's got your back. He's in you. He's all around you. God come on, in heaven loves you. And I'd love to pray for you this morning. And anybody else who wants to make that decision online, why don't you just click that button right now? But let me pray for you. If you say, Steve, pray for me. I don't know Jesus. Steve, I'm not yet a Christian. I don't know the Heavenly Father as you speak of. I don't know what it is to have a relationship with Jesus as a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Church, are you believing with me today that people are going to meet Jesus? In a world that is completely lost it, we find peace in Jesus. We find purpose in Jesus. We find destiny in Jesus. We find forgiveness of sins in Jesus. Oh, maybe some other people won't forgive you, but God in heaven will wash you in the blood that Jesus shed on Calvary, and you'll be whiter than the snow. Maybe someone's trying to hold you to your past. God will never do it. I'd love to pray for you this morning. You say, Steve, you're talking to me. Church, are you believing with me this morning? Amen. I want everybody just for a moment to close your eyes, and I want you to bow your heads. And friend, if you say, Steve, pray for me. Steve, include me in that prayer. Steve, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want you to do something without a second's hesitation. Would you lift your hand right now, high enough and long enough? That's it. Come on, keep lifting them. God bless you. Come on, keep lifting them. God bless you. God bless you. Keep lifting them. Come on, where are you today? I'm looking for you. God bless you right there. Up in the upper section, I see your hand. I'm looking for you today. Thank you. I see two hands right there. God bless you up there. God bless you up there. I'm looking for you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Hands are being raised. God bless you, man. Come on, online, you click that button. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Anyone else, you lift your hand right now, high enough and long enough so I can pray for you. God bless you. There's two hands right there, and there's another hand right there. Church, can we give the Lord a hand for every single person? Amen. We didn't come to church just to, you know, feel good. We came to church to understand how to be good. One of the ways in which we can be good is don't make church about yourself. And I just said, let's give the Lord a hand for all. Let me tell you what just happened. People made a decision to put their faith and trust in a Savior that loves them, that takes them out of darkness and translocates them into the kingdom of light, that gives them a brand new future and a hope. The old is gone, the new has come. Can we give God a hand of praise in Jesus' name for what just took place? Let's pray this prayer together, everybody. Say, Lord Jesus, I ask you today.
I ask you today.
Come on, Jared, say it out loud. I ask you today to come into my life, to forgive me of my sins. I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message by Pastor Steve Kelly. You can find more resources by Pastor Steve at stevekelly.tv and wavechurch.com.